today I want to deal with, in disrupting the norm, this thought: when comfort becomes a cage. When comfort becomes a cage. Would you say that back to me? And believe me when I tell you, this is where most of America is sitting today. They're in a cage. And we've gotten comfortable. We've gotten comfortable with everything we have. One of the greatest, if not the greatest nation on the planet Earth, and we've gotten comfortable. Sometimes I think we need to travel to some third world countries, as I have, and you need to see how fortunate we really are. They just wish they had some of the things that we enjoy. But when I say when comfort becomes a cage and you realize that that is upon you, and we'll deal with that in several different segments today, may not be a long message, but I think it will be one that's impactful. When we see ourselves in that situation, we must have change. Say that back to me. We have to have change. God works, let's just talk about God for a moment. God works in that which we cannot understand, because his ways are higher than our ways. We read that last week. He works in ways we cannot understand. And in order to do that and move with God, it requires faith. Faith for what? Watch this. Faith to walk in the processes of God into your destiny. You have to have faith to walk in the processes, because walking in the process, Gerald, is not that easy. It's complicated. It's complex. Sometimes you feel faint. Sometimes you feel weary. Has anybody felt that way before? You feel faint. You feel weary. Sometimes rejected and dejected. But the truth of the matter is, you have to have faith in the God of the process, because he's taking you in a direction. He wants you to get there. I don't know about anybody seated here today, but as for me and my house, we're going to get there. I'm just going to tell you, that's the way I feel. I know God is real. I know God is alive. I know he hears our prayer. And just because he doesn't answer it the way we think it should be answered, it doesn't mean that we're not walking through the proper process to get to our promise. Does anybody agree with that? You say, well, Bishop, I don't agree with you in a lot of things. Then you need to find another church. Because I mean, if I didn't agree with my doctor sitting right here, I use him a lot because he's sitting dead center. That's my doctor. He's the one that keeps me going. Yeah, give him a hand. But if I kept disagreeing with him and him disagreeing with me every time I went in there, sooner or later, I'm going to have to find somebody that will soothe my comfort zone. Did y'all hear what I just said? Because, see, he may be dead right, but I want something to soothe my comfort zone. I want to find somebody that will agree with my ailments, agree with what I'm feeling. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you don't need that. You need to step outside that comfort cage. So in understanding the processes of God, and sometimes difficult, that if you say, well, how will I know? What do I feel, Bishop? The easy way, everybody likes the easy way, don't you? We want the easy way. I want the easy way to that destination, easy way at work. I want the easy way for my health. I want the easy way to lose weight. There is no easy way to lose weight. The easy way, but hear this today. The easy way, if you in that, the easy way, probably will not be found in the path God has chosen for you. The easy way will not be the path God has chosen for you. So if you're looking for the easy way, he needs to tune you up. If you've ever played a sport and the coach said, I'm going to be easy on you today, you really don't want him to be easy on you, because it's that coach that presses you to your maximum, to almost to the point of breaking, that you find the champion. So if it's easy, God's probably not in it. So I'm going to tell you today, don't get comfortable. The problem we've had in this ministry and other ministries like us around the nation, we've gotten comfortable with who we are, what we are, and old Bishop's up on the stage, and we're happy with what we're doing, and you know what? We just have to keep doing what we're doing. It'll always remain the same. But now we know that's not the truth. And I'm about to rip everyone out of their comfort zone because there's souls that need to be saved. There's people that need to be delivered. There's people that need to see the truth. Groups of people that have never had the opportunity to hear what you've heard and enjoy what you've enjoyed. And I just told you some truth right then. So don't get comfortable and set up residence where you are because your future is far greater than your present understanding or position. Did you catch that? Your future is far greater than your present understanding or your position. But Bishop, this seems to be a real problem. This is just a problem with me. Anyone that has problems in here, multiply that many times and you're going to find out where I sit. Say, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I think I do. I'm not going to get into that. It seems to be a problem, real problem, Pastor. Well, I want you to hear this, something I read this week. Every miracle in the Bible started out as a problem. How could there be a miracle if there wasn't a problem? How can you be healed if you're not sick? How can you be saved if you're not lost in sin? I mean, if you're blind, how can you see unless the Lord touches you and there's a problem, you deal with the problem. So let me say it again. Every miracle in the Bible started out as a problem. Say it again. Every miracle. There you go. So here are some verses we will revisit a little later on in this message. So listen, Matthew 16:24-25 in the NIV. Then Jesus said to his disciples, he's dealing with their comfort zone. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. You got to step outside. You know, I hear people say, I don't want to rock the boat. Have y'all heard that statement? Bishop, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. But I'm going to tell you this. Until you rock the boat, you'll never get out of it. Because when you get out onto strong, firm ground, you rock the boat just to get out on strong ground. If you've ever been in a boat, you're going to rock it some. Most people don't want to rock the boat, and so they go nowhere. They do nothing. They just float. We call them floaters because they don't want to go nowhere. They just want the status quo. They want it to be like it's always been. I'm comfortable in my cage. I don't want to get out, Bishop. I don't want to get out. Well, I'm about to pull you out. I'm going to make something of you. My daddy said, I'm going to make something of you, son, whether you like it or not. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, in other words, you're going to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's not just a one-time thing. That's on a daily basis. For whosoever wants to save his life, you want to save your life, will lose it. Because you got comfortable. But whosoever loses his life for me will find it. And Isaiah, these are verses you need to remember as we go on. Isaiah 43:19. See, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Can't you see it? Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God's about to make a river. A river's going to flow into our wilderness, into our wastelands. God's going to do that. Never look at anything as a defeat. Look at it as a feat. Not a defeat, but as a feat and a way to a miracle, a way to supernatural guidance. I hope I'm helping somebody here today, because you know we get dejected, we get down and out. We don't see a way out of that out of our tunnel. But I'm going to tell you, you've got a way out. You have a way. There seems to be no way, but God is the way. So he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. How many people want a new thing? No, I'm happy with where I is. Bishop, don't rock the boat. I always sit in the same place every week. I drive up and park in the same parking spot. I come in and listen to your songs I don't want to listen to anyway. And then I'm just waiting for you to get up and speak and so you can quit so I can go to Red Lobster. I don't think they're open anymore. Well, I can go to Golden Corral. And then I'll have my Sundays where I can go home and take a nap. Well, I'm going to tell you, you need to be pulled out of that zone because you're caged. But a verse that leads us into another dimension, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he says, therefore, we're talking about the new thing. We're talking about being a follower of Christ. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Well, that indicates something to me. I got to let it go. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles or besets you, the King James says. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes. How do we do that? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Hear me, church, East West Church. We will not go forward. We will not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish unless we fix our eyes on Jesus. You can't fix your eyes on a geographic location. You can't fix your eyes on a building. You can't fix your eyes on me or the person sitting next to you. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the captain. We're just the crew. He's the captain. He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did not allow himself to be caged in a comfort zone. He didn't allow himself to be comfortable. He went to the cross. Even when he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, he wasn't going to do that. That was his humanity speaking. But the God in him was driving him to the cross. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was love that held him to the cross. It was my sin that he died for. It was your sin that he died for. You see, you don't know how big my sin was. Well, I've got a big Jesus that can take care of all those sins. So when comfort becomes a cage, you have to understand, comfort within itself inherently is not a bad thing. But it can become a barrier to growth and obedience. A barrier to growth and obedience, just because you want to stay caged. You don't want to come out. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye a separate people. Well, you got to come out to get in. There's a term they use and a phrase they use in the stock market and other things in business. Number one, it takes money to make money. How many people know that's true? My buddy used to tell me that all the time. I had a business with him. And we were pouring out everything we could. I mean, we were. And he said, well, Alan, you have to understand it takes money to make money. Now, here's the next phrase. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. No risk, no reward. I risk it all because God is over all and through it all. So I don't want there to be a barrier in my life or your life. I don't want you to have a barrier that stops your growth and you being obedient to God. Holy Spirit, speak. So many of the biblical figures that we see had to leave their comfort zone, just like you do, just like we are going to do. East West Church is going to do that. Why? Because God has chosen it to be that way. I don't question God. I argued with him for a year, but I don't question God. Sometimes I can be hard-headed. Is there anybody else in here that's hard-headed? Sometimes God has to shake us up a little bit to get the good out of us. Sometimes he's got to... Does anybody know what I'm doing? No, that ain't milking. Y'all forget the old sifters? Do you remember the old sifters that had the handle, you squeeze it? No, it was your sifter. My sifter, my mother had, you squeeze the handle like this, and the sifter blades would sift the flour. But truth is, if you don't squeeze the udder, you don't get no milk. Woo! Did y'all catch it? Sometimes you got to do those things, and sometimes God's got to squeeze us a little bit to get the milk, and sometimes he's got to sift us to get to the good. I believe there's some good sitting here. You just don't realize what you got. Christians, you know what you got now? See, you caught it. Damon, you know what you got? Yeah. Isla? Brother Perez, you know what you got? Okay. Steve, just sit there. Anyway, we have fun, don't we? Every one of the people, men and women alike, had to come out of their comfort zone in the Bible. So when does comfort become a cage? When does comfort become a cage that restricts us rather than a blessing that refreshes us? Well, let's look. Let's look at the Israelites. I've heard this many times, Bishop. Well, you're going to hear it again. The Israelites in Egypt. Exodus 14:10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. They're out there in the desert. They're faced with the Red Sea. And the Israelites, you know, they're following Moses. And Pharaoh approached. They're coming after him. They're going to kill every one of them. The Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Now, they have to realize God got them out of there. Don't you think God can take them the rest of the journey? So they said to Moses, it's always the leader that catches the brunt of it. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the desert to die? Sounds like a church member, doesn't it? Are there no graves? Don't you understand what's going on? You brought us out here in the desert to die. What have you done to us? What have you done to us? Moses didn't do nothing. God did it by bringing us out of Egypt. Bringing us out of Egypt. Oh, isn't that sad? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. After 400 years in Egypt, 400 years in Egypt, still many Israelites, children of God, resisted change even when God sent Moses to lead them to freedom. They resisted it because they were in a cage. They didn't want to disrupt their norm. They were happy where they were. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I'd be real happy in slavery. I mean, can you even imagine it? You don't live your own life. Your taskmaster tells you how to live your life. I don't like that. I don't want that. But God sent Moses to march them into freedom. They longed for the familiar slavery rather than the unfamiliar freedom. The familiar slavery rather than the unfamiliar freedom, because it costs something to be free. So sometimes, many times, oft times, we hold on to the past because of the familiar. I know some women in the past that lived with men that were horrible to them. I mean, they were absolutely horrible. I mean, I knew one man, he actually was a part of our church back probably 50 years ago. And if his wife didn't do things just the right way, he'd take it, if she didn't fix breakfast the right way, he'd throw it across the room. Now, if I did that, that'd be the last time I had any breakfast. Maybe the last time I could chew anything. Are y'all following me? But he kept on. He made her life miserable, but she stayed with him because it was familiar. It was the norm. I wonder how many of us are living in that right now, living in a scenario or a scene or a circumstance where we really need to come out from it. Now, I'm not advocating leaving somebody, but you're not going to beat me on a regular basis and me live with you. Well, God wants you to show love to them. I will, at a distance. You see, that's why I don't counsel anymore. I haven't counseled in 40 years. You know why? Because people don't want to listen anyway. They don't listen to me. They don't listen at all. Ask Ron. Nobody listens to me. Matter of fact, I preach sermons for a year and try to lead people into telling them exactly where we're headed, and everybody goes, wonder what he's talking about. Now you know. But sometimes you got to rock the boat to get out of a bad situation. And that could be at a job. You can label it however you want to. It could be in a school situation. But sooner or later, you got to disrupt the norm and say, I'm tired of the way things are going. I want to see and experience something different. So we hold on to the past. We hold on to it because it's familiar. Even if it hinders our purpose, we hold on. We keep holding on. Do y'all know anybody like that? You have to let go. Don't get locked into something just because you recognize and can define it. Because that's where we are. If I don't recognize it and I can't define it, then I don't want no part of it. But I'm going to say again, if you can recognize it and define it, follow this, you need to be careful because God, you probably won't find God in it. Because God works beyond your recognition and your definition. Am I making sense? Or are y'all going to have to go home and think about it? The truth of the matter is, any time in my life that I think I've recognized something and can define it, now everything's good, it's cool, everything's working out, God says, no, you messed up. It took God dealing with me. I was happy in the norm. I was happy with status quo. I was happy with business as usual. But when the barrel got empty, now I need a miracle. That's where we are. That's where you are. When your barrel gets empty, you need a miracle. We'll deal with that at a different time. You see, God's love loves to show himself strong. That's why if you can recognize it and define it, he probably is not in it. Because God wants to show you his love. He wants to show his love. And he wants to show you how mighty he is, how strong he is. And he's mighty and strong, Randy, in the unfamiliar. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not see something and be a little familiar with it and understand, but if God's performing a miracle, you don't understand it. How many times have God healed somebody? I heard a testimony. You see, in all this, I'm saying it's walking by faith and not by sight. This woman had iron rods in her legs, Doc, and she could not bend her knees. And her one prayer was, God help me because I want to be able to kneel and give you praise. And one night at a worship service, this woman's crying uncontrollably. And they went and checked on her. This is by a major player in the body of Christ. I heard that this week. They went to check on her. And why are you crying so? She couldn't even talk. Her friend was there and said, you see, she had an accident where they had to put steel rods in her legs. She cannot bend her legs. But tonight, God melted the rods. And she could bend her knees and worship God. So I'm trying to tell you, that's miraculous. That's not familiar. That's something you cannot recognize. How do you explain steel plates and metal rods and screws disappearing? My daddy prayed for a man one day. He's going into major surgery. Back then, 55 years ago, if you went in for any kind of open surgery where they went in to remove gallbladders or whatever, it was a major surgery. Now it's major if I just go see the doctor. That's major to me. But my daddy prayed for a man. His name was Howard Rivers. He bought the first organ for our church on Piedmont Road. That was my daddy's church. And he called my daddy and said, I'm going to pray for you. And daddy prayed the prayer. He said, God, I'm asking you to guide all the surgeon's hand. But I'm asking you, Father, to dismiss this, to remove this. The surgeon gets in there. Now, God could have worked beyond that, but back then they didn't have the machinery we've got now, the technology we've got now. They opened him up, and guess what? The gallbladder was gone. And they said it, and this is their, what the doctor said. It seemed as though it was like a laser beam had cut it out. It was sealed perfectly. I want to tell you that's unfamiliar. How do you recognize that? How do you tell somebody you got stage 4 cancer and you're going to die, and God says, no, you're going to live? How do you say that? It's not familiar. It doesn't make sense to me. But God doesn't work in our sense. He works in our spirit. So we walk by faith and not, Steve, by sight. By faith and not by sight. Now look at old brother Abram, the father of the faithful. Just for a moment, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country and your people. Disrupting the norm? Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. That's three things there. And go to a land I will show you. He ain't shown him yet. He didn't tell you he's going to have to get out there and wander around to find it. I will make of you, if you do what I'm telling you to do, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram, here's the key. So Abram, he wasn't even Abraham at that time. So Abram, next word, left. He just said, okay, I hear you talking, I'm going to do it. So Abram left as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and God spoke to him. He said, see, Abram was 75 years old when he had to leave his father's house, and you're 75 years old, and you're about to leave this house. We're going to another house. We're going to a house where the builder and maker is God. You say, I don't see it. Bishop, I don't understand. He didn't call you to be a leader. He didn't call you to hear what I'm hearing. So when he spoke that to me and I saw 75 years old, I said, God, you just talked to me. You just spoke to me. I'm getting out of the house, going to a place that I know not of, but I'm going to bless you. That means you're going to be blessed. Listen, together we can do anything. Together we stand, divided we fall. That's something that I believe God wants us to do is unanimity. He wants unison. And you know what? Friday night, the unity we had in here was amazing. Amen. It amazed me. Yes. And some of you that wrote me, Brother Ricky wrote me, it really touched me. Because you're thinking, that's important to me, that you're thinking through the process. Abraham was called, Floyd, to leave his country. He had to leave his people. He had to leave everything he knew, his traditions. Traditions, let me say that word again, I need to preach on that. Traditions. But it's always been our tradition. Well, sometimes traditions, you need to break them. And he had to leave his father's house. God's promises, mark it down, God's promises required a willingness to step into the unknown. You had to be willing to step where you did not know. So I'm going to ask this question today. Are you willing to follow God beyond what is comfortable? Are you? Don't ask me, I'm already there. I have nothing backing me up but God. I'm going to be honest with you. I chose that from a young minister. I didn't want anything to back me but God. And I trust him. So are you willing to follow God beyond what is comfortable? Are you willing to walk into uncharted territory and disrupt the norm? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 16, whosoever wants to be to my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There comes a point of denial. You have to deny certain things. You know what? It's not easy to be a part every Sunday at a church, which I can't quite understand unless you're called, you have to go speak somewhere else or like Dr. Carrier does, you have to be certain places. I understand that. But it's really not that hard to spend an hour and 30 minutes to be in the house of the Lord. It's not that hard to sit and listen to a word that might save your life. It's not we call it a denying ourselves. I call it a blessing. So what is Jesus wanting? He calls us to sacrifice comfort. Watch this. He calls us to sacrifice comfort for discipleship. What does that mean? Discipleship, that means you're following the man. You're following Jesus. Sometimes the comfort zone, you have to follow Jesus. Comfort or discipleship? Some will say comfort all the time. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be a Mike wrote a song years ago, which has hit the all-time list. Comfortable Christian. And that's the problem. We've gotten comfortable. But there's no way you can be in Christ and be comfortable because he's going to keep moving you forward. What if, Doc? Some of you sitting here today, they're enjoying we're all related to one another. We call ourselves family because we are. What would have happened if Martin Luther King Jr. had gotten comfortable? He didn't need what he went through. He could have stayed at Ebenezer. He could have spoke every Sunday. He could have got the applause of the people, and civil rights would have never been birthed the way he could do it. Am I right? Go on down the line of great leaders. What if they'd gotten comfortable? What if they said, let somebody else do it? Well, I've always looked for that somebody else, and they're not there. I mean, who's going to do it for me? Somebody else. I want to see them. I want you to make a t-shirt that says, I'm somebody else. Steve's motto is, don't do it until you have to. But my motto is, do it before you have to. Get it done. So Jesus calls for a step outside our comfort zone in order to become into the discipleship of Jesus Christ. True life is found when we surrender our normal. This is good. Simple. True life is found when we surrender our normal for God's extraordinary. What do? We embrace the new thing. Don't fight it. Embrace it. He says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Can't you see it? I'm going to ask you, can y'all see what God's doing? He's trying to do a new thing. But he's not going to do it in an old mold. He's not going to. He's not going to do it in my comfort zone or your comfort zone where I'm just in the saddle just riding and I'm okay. I'm all right. God says, get up off your saddle and get the job done. I preached a sermon y'all will not believe I preached one time. Doc, I don't know if you was here when I did that. But I was preaching about the Good Samaritan. And he was riding his donkey, and he had to get off that donkey to help the poor man, the wayfarer that was beat up. And I said, y'all want to hear this? And I said, in order for you to do what God wants you to do, sometimes you got to get up off your ass. It's in the Bible. The Bible said it. The Bible said he got off his ass. See, we don't want to hear that. We want to think we're just riding on along. I'll preach that some other time. But you know what? That's just good stuff. I was young and dumb, but I would hammer people with stuff like that. I don't say things like that now, so forgive me for saying it. Act like you didn't hear it. Go la, 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 la. That's it. God is always leading us forward. He's not backing us up. He's leading us forward. But we must be willing to move with the cloud, with the fire by night and the cloud by day. We have to be willing to move. You will never enjoy the new thing until you step out of the old thing. You don't hold on to the old thing wanting the new thing. Do you hear that, Doris? You just will never get there. Vic, you can't. You got to let go of you got to let go of those things. Quit thinking in the past. And don't label people or things that you're involved with now because you see a trait of that person or that thing in something else that you did. Don't do that to yourself because it might not be the same. What areas in your life, here we're coming to the end now, we're getting ready to baptize, take the offering. What areas in your life, Jimmy Gross, have become a cage because you fear stepping into the unknown? What areas? I can't answer that for you. You can. What areas of your life? You see, we looked at the verses in Hebrews because God, walking with God, it requires, or the process of walking through God, Floyd, it requires perseverance. You read that in Hebrews 12. Let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You have perseverance or you'll never finish the race. Faith requires movement. We cannot hold on to the past and expect new growth. Well, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's where it ends. No, that's where it begins. Amen. Things are changing. Jesus doesn't change, but our methods change. I believe that for the most part, mankind has messed up church. Now, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the organization of church. I think man has messed it up. Years ago, if I let my ego get involved, I was building a cathedral right here. This was going to be some of the outbuildings. Probably we're going to tear up some of the other stuff. I was going to build a cathedral. If I had built that building, which would have probably cost somewhere at that time $4 or $5 million. Not a lot of money in that sense, I guess. Now it would probably cost $15 or $20 million. But if I had done it, we wouldn't be here today. We'd be gone. All because God said, stop. I stopped. Do you think that was easy for me, Christian? Damon, was it easy for me? Mary, was that easy for me? Would that be easy for you after you've planned and gotten everything going and raising money to do such? And God says, did you ask me? But my ego was pressing me. I'm thinking I'm doing it for God. And I believe that's where we've messed up. We think we're doing it for God, but we're in a cage of self. And we can't get past self. Comfort should serve as a place of restoration, not a permanent residence. Here's some things I want you to discover in this message. What areas of your life have become a cage of comfort? Is God calling you to step into a new level of faith? New level of service or purpose? Is He? If He is, then what will you do with the call? What will you do with it? Say, well, Bishop, I'm expecting you to do it. I can't do what God wants you to do. I say, disrupt the norm. Step out in faith. Let God lead you into the unknown where true transformation happens. So what do I do, Bishop? Reflect on the areas where you've chosen comfort over calling. You reflect on it. You see, I would never go to a place called a church just because my friends went there. I would go to a church or to a place of worship that God has called me to, where my life has changed, where I move from level to level. I can have a lot of friends, but when it comes to the house of the Lord, I want to know who I'm connected with. I want to know we're praying for one another. I want to know that we're connected in spirit and in truth. And I believe we are. I believe the core of this church is very strong, as I saw Friday night. The core is very strong. You can't damage anything that's that strong. Only if you let dissension get in. Then the enemy can work. But we will not be defeated as long as we stand together. So we need to reflect on where you've chosen comfort over calling. What do we need to do? Pray for boldness to embrace change and obedience. Pray for boldness. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Take one faith-driven step this week outside your comfort zone. That means when something comes bad at you, Chris, you don't say, well, to hell with it. No, you say, God, I may not understand it, but I'm going to walk where you want me to walk. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Don't do anything haphazardly. Don't do anything that has not been thought out in the spirit. Well, I'm in trouble, so I'm just going to sell everything I got. Well, you need to think about that. That may not be where God wants you. You need to be very careful and make sure the Spirit is speaking to you. And you'll always know when it's God because there'll be several others around you saying, I see that in the Spirit. I feel that in the spirit. So take one faith-driven step this week outside your comfort zone. And my prayer is this, oh God, we of the East-West Church, this family, may we have the courage to break free from the cages of comfort and step boldly into the destiny God has prepared for us. Step boldly where few have walked. Today is our time.